Okay, let's get started with Kilayim Daf Mem Hey. And we are on Daf Mem Dalad Amud Aleph towards the bottom. As we said, there's one big sentence that's going to take place today. But let's remember what we are talking about, and then we will get into what today's, I wouldn't call it a math discussion, but a discussion of shapes and trying to fit things and fit things in, and then we'll try to add on a few ideas ourselves, like we generally try to do. So we mentioned that the parak is called Kerem Shacharav, right? You have a vineyard that all of a sudden a lot of its trees died, and now you have spots and areas within the Kerem that doesn't have trees. The question is it still called the Kerem or not? Different than the Karachas HaKerem, which is the name of the previous parak. So we remember the names of the two parakim. Karachas HaKerem, that's the middle spot where everything from the middle got destroyed. Now I have a big space in the middle of the Kerem. Kerem Shacharav is that, no, throughout the Kerem there were trees that are the vines that are there and vines that are not there. So what's the rule? So the Mishnah said that as long as you have ten vines within an area of a base sa'ah, so then you're good. Right, and that's 50 by 50 amos. So then that is still called a kerem, as long as they are still netuos kilchasa, which means that within this kerem shacharav, one still has areas of shnayim mikayim, v'shnayim mikan, v'zanav, yotze mehem. Right, as long as you have that, the regular structure, as we said, what we call three rows and two rows next to each other against that Rambam that we've mentioned. As long as you have that within what's left, so then that is called a kerem. It's called a kerem dal. It's called a poor kerem because it's not exactly as it was, but it still has the halacha of a it still has the halacha of a kerem. Then the Mishnah spoke about what if you have a kerem that's originally planted in an erbuvia type of way. So the Mishnah also says if you could find within that erbuvia, you could find a row of three and a row of two next to each other, then you're good. And if not, the Remeir said in that case that no, it really goes by what it looks like. If you have so many vines all together and an outsider looks at it and says, come on, that looks like a kerem, so then that would, you would have to treat that as a kerem. Which reminds us a little bit of the Kilai Zroim days, where Maris Ayin plays more of a role. But that's what Remeir says, and we mentioned that from Remeir Simcha also. Just thinking now, that could be part of what the where the Rambam got his extra line from. Remember, the Rambam says that if you don't have a hipaskin, that eight amos is the shear between vines, even by three, right? Hipaskin like the Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, in the end of the Mishnah on Mem Gimel Mabez, and we spoke about this on Mem Dalet Mabez, but he had in the extra line that you still need, you know, four amos outside. So some say, the Kesem Mishnah, the Baradva says, because it still looks like a kerem from the outside, even though you don't have to treat it that way from the inside. So maybe that's partly based on this Rabbi Meir right here. Okay, so then now what we are up to, we're going to figure out, so what's the case of a kerem shacharav, where you start out with a whole number of vines, and then a bunch of them were removed or destroyed, but what you still have left is a number of vines to still kill this a kerem, that you have a number of vines, and they all look like the structure that a kerem has to be. So that's what we're going to figure out. And again, the pictures are going to come in handy today as well. So we are three lines from the bottom on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. So Reb Zeira Machbi L'Chavaya. Reb Zeira, who plays a major role in Talmud Yerushalmi, as we have seen and we discussed a shir or two ago about Rabbi Zeira's move to Eretz Yisrael and his Rebbe Rav Yehuda maybe didn't want him to go until he finally saw the vision of barley, as the Gemara says in Brachas, and then he made the big move. So Reb Zeira showed his friends, this is what the Mishnah is talking about, a Kerem Shacharav. I'm going to show you what it means that half the Kerem got destroyed, but you still have vines that are within this structure. So here we go. Teisha Shorin Min Sova Sova. You have a 9 by 7, 9 rows by 7, right? You have, that's your kerem. You have 9 rows of vines and 7 in each row. Right? So 63, whatever it is, that's your structure. If you look in the in all the pictures, that's how it starts off. You have 9 rows by 7 vines in each one. Nasav Shura Para Shura Lishti. Nasav Shura, Parashura, La'arev. Take out alternating rows. Take out alternating rows, horizontally and vertically. That's called Shesi and Arev, right? Those are borrowed from weaving terms in Hilcha Shabbos. Remember Shesi and Arev, Batei Nirin. So if you take out one row horizontally and run more vertically, and what does that leave you? If you started off with 40, if you started off with Gefanim in all of those rows are both full. So again, nine rows of seven. So after you take off the rows horizontal, every other, and the rows vertical, Nishtairu Sham Esrim Gefanim, you have 20 vines left. 20 vines left. So if you look in the picture, if you look in the Oz V'Hadar, it's my first picture, Aleph, but if you look in the picture, when they put a line through the horizontal rows and the vertical rows, every other, what you have left are 20 vines. So far, so good. So now we keep going, get even less. We're going to get it down to 10. Nasav tarti mikan, vatarti mikan. Vatarti mikan, vatarti mikan. We add in four of those words. You take two from here, and two from there, and two from here, and two from there. Chad mikan, vachad mikan. And two more from the sides. Nishtairu sham, eser gefanim. You have 10 left. So what 10 do you have left? You started off with this whole area of vines. And if you, Reb Zeira is explaining again why does he keep taking off, he's coming up with a case where you have very few vines left, but they are all within the structure of what the classic carom is. A row of three and a row of two next to each other. And what we're going to do, we'll see what we're going to do. So if you look in the, let's say in my picture, it's Oz Dalid from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, but it's in the Oz Vahadar. What you have left in your, you have a row, the vines are 5 by 4. So you have 20 rows left. That's what we started, right? 5 by 4, 20 rows left. So if you imagine that you keep the six rows in the middle, the six vines in the middle six, and then you have one zanav sticking out on each side. That gives you 10. You have the six middle ones. You end up, after you started off with a lot of vines, and you took out horizontal rows and vertical rows, you end up with 5 by 4, 20, and then you have the six in the middle with one sticking out now on each side. So if you look at that, we're going to talk about this more, but if you look at that, each one of the ones sticking out is really a zanav to a 2 by 2. Remember, we need a row of three and a row of two. Each one of those ones sticking out to an external row is really part of one of the other rows. So this is the case of Kerem Shacharav. Kerem Shacharav, where you had a lot of vines, but you have 10 left. Right? What does the Mishnah say? 10 left is Kerem Shacharav. What's the Kerem Shacharav? We have 10 vines left in a huge area of a Beis Sa'ah. So this is it, says Reb Zeira. Right? This is the case. We have a Kerem Shacharav, 10 left in the Beis Sa'ah, but they're all still part of a good Kerem structure. And that's why you need, as the Mishnah said, the halacha is you're going to have to be 4 amos away from the whole area that's called a Kerem. That used to be a Kerem, not just from the ones that are left. Back to the Gemara. Hadehu detaninan. This is exactly what the Mishnah means. Eser gefanim lebeis sa'ah, where there are 10 vines to a beis sa'ah that are left. Nimsu shtayim keneged shtayim be'echaz yosi zanav. Right? 2 and 2 to one side, with a tail sticking out. Shtayim keneged shtayim be'echaz yosi zanav. Shtayim keneged shtayim be'echaz yosi zanav. Shtayim keneged shtayim be'echaz yosi zanav. So in all four directions, you can look at, you have a kerem there. Because you have, going to each side, north, south, east, west, you have a row of three and a row of two, depending how you look at it. So again, you have a row of 5 by 4, right? And I'm sure in all of the Gemaras there are pictures there. You have a row of 5 by 4, you have 20. And then the middle six are left, and you have one sticking out on each side. So that is the Shtayim Keneged Shtayim and Va'achaz Yotzeis Zanav. Stop there for a, you know what? Let's just, we're in the zone of seeing this picture, so let's just keep going, and then we'll make some comments. So now the Gemara says, remember how you figure out the distance from a kerem? We learned this in the previous parak. When you have this structure of 2 by 2, basically 3 by 2, what do you do to figure out the distance? What we do is, according to what we paskin, you put an imaginary vine into the missing section. So it's as if you have 2 rows of 3, because you want to square it off. We're not going to do a diagonal line at the end of the row of the 3 and the 2. We learned in the last parak, you put in like an imaginary vine, next to the, let's say, next to each one, so then you'll have a rectangle that you'll have to distance from. So that's what you're going to do now. Adroa kilu acheres netuakan. That's the lashon that we had in the previous parak. That meant you put in an extra, an imaginary vine over here. Kilu acheres netuakan, an extra vine, imaginary vine over there. Kilu acheres netuakan, an extra one over here. And just add in a phrase. Kilu acheres netuakan. So you added in an extra imaginary vine. So now, after you add in the four imaginary vines, so you added in four. You had 10, and now you added in another, you add in another 6, right? The only ones that are left, not included in the vine, are the four corners. The four corners are out. So you only have 10 actual vines. But based on the halacha that you're able to square off every vine, right? We have a row of 3 and a row of 2. So you add in an imaginary line to make it even 3 rows. So you basically fill in another 6 vines in the picture. And the only ones that are left out that are not included in a vineyard, halachically, are the four corners, right? The four corners are not included. Says the Gemara, continue a little more. Again, just to repeat it again, you have 10 actual vines left in the Beis Sa'ah. They're all part of the classic kerem structure, which is a row of 3 and a row of 2 next to each other. To create the distance from that picture, we add in an imaginary vine that we learned in the last parak. Because how do you measure 4 amos from this kerem? You don't make a diagonal line at the end of the 3 and 2. You put in an imaginary line as if you have 2 even rows of 3. So in this picture that we're looking at, so you add in the 6 imaginary vines to even off all of these vines making a kerem. And the ones that are left out are the four corners. Let's continue before we lose the train of thought. Says the Gemara now, Litakan. Oh, maybe now we should even add in the corners, because once you've made an imaginary vine where we did, so maybe we should make another imaginary vine which connects to the ones that are imaginary. Says the Gemara, no, you can't do that. You can't build imaginary on imaginary. Imagination only goes so far, right? Litakan einat yachol. To put in one corner, you can't in another one, shehu zanav. Because the one that you imagined already is a zanav, the ain zanav is zanav. You can't make a tail to a tail. You can't build an imaginary vine onto an already imaginary vine. That you can't do. And we just say that 4 times. Litakan einat yachol, shehu zanav, ain zanav is zanav. Right? You can't put in a corner. Litakan einat yachol, shehu zanav, ain zanav is zanav. And litakan einat yachol, shehu zanav, ain zanav is zanav. So, again, the steps. 10 actual vines. We added in 6 more in order to square off all of those actual vines. But now the Gemara says you can't include the four corners because those are trying to add in imaginary vines built on already imaginary vines, and that is not acceptable. We'll talk about imaginary halacha in created realities in a minute. But let's just finish the sentence. Hada Amra. This teaches us the fact that you can't add on an extra one, she'ein zanav l'kerem gadol, right? Once it's extended to become a kerem gadol, right? As we said, what's a kerem gadol? Right? You have a lot of vines all together that makes a kerem. So then any further extension wouldn't be viewed as part of the kerem, right? You want to have an imaginary vine based on the imaginary, but as we learned earlier in the previous parak, the whole idea of zanav is, and this significance to that zanav is by a kerem katan. I have a row of 3 and a row of 2. So then, that one sticking out in the row of 3, that's part of the kerem. So that's significant. So that's I measure from outside that. But what if I have a huge kerem? 200 vines in many, many rows, and I have one vine sticking out on one side. We learned in the last parak, that's not called part of the kerem. You only need 6 tefachim from that one. You don't need 4 amos. That's not part of the kerem. Because once you have a big kerem, you don't, what's outside is not significant. It's not called an appendage to the kerem. It's just an extra thing. So that's what the Gemara says here. Hada Amra. You see from here, once you imagined your vines and you now have it squared off, now you want to include another one sticking out. Once you have the kerem gadol, so then we don't include anything beyond that. Okay. Stop there for a moment. And let's make some comments outside of just the math that we have discussed. We're talking about imaginary realities. Many times in halacha, we imagine certain realities. But interesting, that what does the Gemara say here? You can't imagine on an imagine. Reminded me of the halacha in Hilchas Sukkah. Hilchas Sukkah, we know we use many imaginary, quote-unquote, realities in Hilchas Sukkah. You might say lovewood, right? You have a space of less than three tvachim, so you imagine as if it's closed space. We discussed a few weeks ago. Is it mamish closed space? Do you imagine that the two edges are pulled together? We have something called dofen akuma. Dofen akuma, which is a bent wall. You have a roof and you have a wall. And the edges of your roof happen to be pasul schach. So you are allowed to view that, I think it's within four amos, of the wall, to say that's ki'ilu, that wall is, it's a bent wall, and the schach really starts from, you know, where the kosher schach are. Well, that looks to me like a roof and not a wall. No, dofen akuma, you're allowed to look at it. Good achis and good asik. Right, you have this all hilchazuka, right? You're allowed to stretch a wall up, stretch a wall down. If you have a wall that goes from the schach all the way down, so it has to be a certain distance all the way down, but not mamish all the way until the bottom. Let's say you could have it has to be within lovewood. But for other halachas, you could just have remember we had Tzuras HaPesach, right? You could just ki'ilu shoot the roof down, right? Good achis. But what if you have a ten tafach wall? You have a ten tafach wall that's under the schach. Good asik, you could imagine as if the wall goes all the way up, that's a good enough wall, and it hits the schach, and you have a wall around your sukkah. But the halacha is, you're not allowed to use good achis and lovewood in the same corner. Meaning if your schach, don't go all the way to above your wall. You could use one or two. If I have schach all the way up, and then if I have a wall that goes all the way up very high, and then my schach is not all the way up until the wall. It's within three tvachim. That's okay. That's lovewood. If I have my schach on top of my wall, but my wall is very short, it's only 10 tefachim high, and there's a lot of space between the wall and the schach, that's also okay. But you can't use both. You can't use your wall that doesn't go all the way up to the schach and lovewood, because then like you pull them up and across, you're like imagining it's like connecting an airspace, right? You can't have imaginary realities built on imaginary realities, right? That's like kind of like what the Gemara says here. That's not allowed. But we have many times in halacha, we spoke about Tzuras HaPesach. Tzuras HaPesach is an imaginary wall. You're allowed to build a Tzuras HaPesach around your kerem, and that's good enough. Looks to me like a lot of airspace. But halacha says that's a doorway, and that's okay. But we also have a whole world of halacha, kol ha'omed. Kol ha'omed l'srof kesarof dami. Kol ha'omed l'kvos kagavi dami. Kol ha'omed l'batzer kabatzer dami. Kol ha'omed l'gazes kagazes dami. Right, all of these. It's omed to be cut, it's as if it's cut. It's omed to be collected, it's kilo is collected. Each one of these is separate, but it's omed to be burned, it's kilo is burned already. Right, so all of these, the status that in the future already can impact now. It's kind of like potential, kalaroi labila, not exactly the same, but kal ha-omed. If you look in the regressive angle, right, in one place in Beis HaOtzar, he says, Kol ha'omed lizro kizarek dami. You have blood. You have blood for the carbon. Kol ha'omed lizro kizarek dami. So do you actually have to do it for certain halachas? Rabbi Shimon says, Kol ha'omed lizro kizarek dami. So the Beis HaOtzar says, you know, sometimes that halacha about the future status impacting right now, maybe you'll say that if there's a chiyuv to do what you're about to do, or if there is a mitzvah to do. And Beis HaOtzar and Aleph Chav Zayin, he quotes, Zerak b'davar she mitzvah lehe asos. Right by the zrika, da machshava v'ratzon lasos a mitzvah omdim b'makom asiya v'chashiva ma'isa. But if there's no chiyuv to do it, maybe you wouldn't say this. Okay, but there are different limitations. But related to kol ha'omed lizro, you have the status that comes up in Maseches Sukkah, kitusei mechta shiure. Right, as if you have to burn something, so it's ki'ilu, it's burned up already, and therefore the language of the Gemara is it's crushed smaller than its shear. Kitusei mechta shiure, right? This is what the Gemara says in Lulav HaGazel, in the third parak of Maseches Sukkah, where the Gemara talks about using an esrog or a lulav of an asherah tree, which needs to be burned. So there's a stira, the Gemara says there. One source says lulav avodah zara is okay with the eved, and the other one says no, asherah has to be burned. The Gemara says no, asherah demosha askinon de kitusei mechta shiure. It's as if it's burned already and it's crushed up, and therefore, what's the problem? Three different days in the Mefarshim. The Stipo talks about this there. Right? What is the problem of Kedusa Meflesh Yirei? You look at it, it's a lulav. Right? But you have to burn it. And therefore, the imagined reality is it's burned. And therefore, what's the problem? Three different dais. Either the Meir, the Rebbe Kiva Eger says it's Pachas Mikashir. The lulav has to be a certain length of shear. But if it's Kedusa Meflesh Yirei, it's as if you don't have the shear. It's as if it's burned up. You have a bunch of ashes. That's smaller than the four tvachim that you need for lulav. Others, the Meiri says, no, it's as if it's the shear, but it's as if it's separated, it's mefurad. It's as if every part of the lulav is not connected to the other part of the lulav, because as if it's burned up and ashes aren't connected to each other, so it's mefurad, mefurar, kilu alulav mefurar lepirurim, as if it's just dust. And number three, maybe kilu is burned, it's as if it's not here at all. Right, it's a language of there's a Rashi in Chulin. Kivich a mitzvah l'sarfa omrim kolam elisrof kasarf dami v'lachay nechshav adar she'eno ki'ilu alu aveno. So again, kivutim eflesh yirei is another imagined reality that we have. So this is a concept that we're used to in halacha, that halacha says we could view things as if. So here we could view things as if there's another vine there. So that's fine, but building vines on vines, you know, that's usually not. That's not what we do. Another interesting, connected topic. We spoke a few weeks ago about where Zanav comes up. We spoke about the most famous story in Shas. Again, about a tale. It's famous if you know it. We try to make it famous. Psachim Dav Gimel, remember the story about the non-Jew who tried to eat the Karban Pesach, and Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi set him up and said, oh, why didn't he ask for the Aliyah? So that's Aliyah. Doesn't say Zanav there. But elsewhere in Chazal, there is, not only in Chazal, it's in the Torah. Right, the Torah says that there's a bracha that we should be like a rosh and not a zanav. We have a lot of discussion of zanav here. Right, the Torah says in Parshas Kisavo. Right, the Torah tells us unasancha Hashem l'rosh v'lo l'zanav. You should be for the head and not for a zanav. And all the mafarshim wonder, starting with the Ramban, what's the double lashon? You should be the rosh. If you're for a rosh, then you're not to a zanav. Right, you should be a rosh. They're different, right? What does the Mishnah say in Pirkei Avos? Also, this comes up in Chazal. In Pirkei Avos, it says that you should be Perek Dalet in Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Masya ben Chara Shomer, havi makdim shalom b'chol adam, v'havi zanav la'arayos, fa'alti rosh l'shu'alim. Better to be a tail for a lion rather than a head of a fox, right? Because the Mefarshim explain. What does it mean, a lion? That means Talmid Chachamim and people who are good neighbors. Better to be small amongst great neighbors than big amongst terrible neighbors. Right? Better to be with the lions than with the Arayot. So again, you have that Lashon, but the Mefarshim, again, back to the Kisavo, if it says you should be the Rosh, so then what do you mean? Why do you have to say that you shouldn't be as enough? So if you look in the Eish Tamud, one of the contemporary... very popular Sfarim, Rabbi Druk, I think, says, the emphasis is that in Am Yisrael, you're either one or the other extreme. There's nowhere in the middle. If you're not a Rosh, you're a Zanaf. Right? If you're not going up, you're going down. And the Maharal talks about this in his writings as well. Beruchnius ein matzah beinayim. Oshata Rosh, Oshata Zanaf. Oshata Lamala, Oshata Lamata. Right? That's the little muster that we could take from all this discussion of Zanav in the Krumim. We don't want to be like a Zanaf. Right, and we know if we don't want to be a zanav, we have to be a rosh. Right, you can't just be in the middle. And he says that's the pshat of the pasuk in Bichukosai. But nasati mishkani b'sochachem, I'm going to give you a base of mikdash, but losigal nafshi eschem, and I'm not going to be disgusted with you. All right, those two extremes. Hashem thinks we have a base of mikdash. So okay, there's a lot before he becomes disgusted with us. He says no, it's one or the other. Right, it's one or the other. Base of mikdash. Or slow sigal nafshi eschem, right? One or the other. That's the discussion. He says another pshat, maybe the rosh v'lo l'zanav. He says often yesh matzah. He says deraklal kasher rosh hu amanhig ha'hol elech acharav. Sometimes if you have a dog, so the tail follows the head. The head is the way that decides where to go, and the tail follows. But sometimes, I don't know, the dog gets pulled by the owner, so it's like pulling it so that the head's going to follow where the zanav was, right? So in life, we have a rosh and we have zanav. Zanav is like all the other places we're being pulled. We should make sure that our rosh is pulling our zanav, right? Tia la rosh v'lo li zanav. Zu abrachas nemer kan. Gam kasher ata nimsa barosh, lo tia nigra achare zanav. Ela manhigus chatia chazaka, veitana lo nigra zachare apchusim. Okay. Fine. Let's continue. We'll talk about one or two other ideas if there's time. Okay, we continue. We're on to Hadapshita. So what did we just say? We spoke about we have 10 left in this Beis Sa'a, and we imagined another 6. And the only ones that are filled that are not filled in are the 4 corners. We can't add in those 4 corners to be called the Karem, because that's Zanav Lezanav. But so we have 10 plus 6 imaginary, and that's the area that's still called the Karem Dal within this area. So the Gemara says, first of all, we just answered a question that we had in the previous parak. In the previous parak, when we spoke about that we add in a 6th one, we had back on Daf Mem Aleph, we add in, are you allowed to have 2 imaginary lines onto, let's say you have a row of 4 and a row of 2 on top of it. We ask there, are you allowed to imagine 2? So based on what we just did, the answer is yes. Because that's what we just did in this 10. We imagined 2 imaginary vines on the same row. So the Gemara just says, first, we just answered that question. Hadapshita, we just answered She'ilta to Rabbi Yossi Bar Zemina. The question that Rabbi Yossi Bar Zemina asked B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan back on Daf Mem Aleph 4 days ago. Adro Akilu Acheres, the Duokan. Are you allowed to view 1 here and 1 there and 1 there and 1 there? So that was the question. So we just answered that question. You could have 2 imaginary vines in that case. Okay. Next section. Nimsu. If we think about it now, we're trying to explain the Mishnah. A Beis Sa'ah, you have 10 left in the Beis Sa'ah. So the Gemara is about to work out that if you do the math, which we have been trying to do, if you do the math of what we've just described, what did Zera describe? It started off with 9 rows, with 7 in each one. So the Gemara is about to say, even if you expand that to the biggest, what's the biggest? The most space between each vine, each row, 8 amos. That's what we said before. In order for them to still be considered one vine, the most you're allowed to have between the vines is 8 amos. So even if you have that, and you go through the whole math, it's not going to exactly work out to be 50 by 50, which is a Beis Sa'ah. So could this be what the Mishnah was talking about? Again, what was the Mishnah's case of Karem Dal? It was a case where you have 10 left in a Beis Sa'ah. So here we have 10 left. That's good. But it's not 50 by 50. If you do the math, it's going to be a different dimension. Nimsu, if you have a row 9 with 7 vines in each one, it works out, and with 8 amos in between, it works out to be Nimsu Shishim Va'arbal Arbam Vishmona. It's an area of 64 by 48 amos. 64 by 48, so we can't fit in a 50 by 50 in here. So that's going to be what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to take off some of the area of one side and stick it onto the other side to try to make it a 50 by 50. Which at the end of the day, at the end of the daf today, we're going to say, but it's still not 50 by 50, so it's going to be 50 by 62, we'll see. So that's also not a Beis Sa'ah, that's bigger. So is that the pshat of the Mishnah? And that's how we're going to end off. But let's get there. So Sefer Gemara says, Nimsu, Shishim Barab Al-Rabam Mishmona. So you have 64 by 48. That's how it ends off. So what do you do? Okay, so let's cut off part of the 64 side and put it next to the 48 side to at least like get them both at least 50. Nasav tarti mika v'yavlan uka hacha. So take tarti. What's tarti? A section of 2 by 48, right? Because we're going to take from the 64 side to make it to 62, and the other length is 48. So we're going to take a 2 by 48 slab, and we're going to slice it, and we're going to put it. Again, we're trying to fit in this 64 by 48 into 50 by 50. So we're going to take a 2 by 48 and put it on the side. So Nasav Tarti Mika, we take a 2 by 48 piece from the 64 side and add it to the 48 side. So beautiful. So now we have 50 on that side. We have 50 on the side. You look in the pictures. We took that slide. So one side is now going to 50 and the other side is 62. We got the 64 down to 62. The problem is, right now it's 62 by 50. Nimsu, so if it comes out, if you do that, Arba'im v'shmona, Arba'im v'shmona. The Mefarshim have a very tough time figuring out what does that line mean? What does that mean? So the way that some of the Mefarshim mean it is, Arba'im v'shmona, we just took a slab of 2 by 48, and we put it down next to the side that only had 48 till now. Al Arba'im v'shmona. And therefore now you have 50, let's say, going from on the south side, you're good. And you have 62 going up on the north-south side. You're still, though, missing a little. You want it to be, let's say, 50 by 50, but the northeast corner, so to speak, is still missing a little cube. because you took this slab of 2x48 and you put it down, and so that the bottom is 50, but going up, it's still missing a little cube. So the Gemara says, take a little more off from on top. Chad beinai akar, another 2x2 area remove, and chad beinai yohav, and take out that next word chad. And you put it next to the slab that you have already moved. So now you fit in 50, you have 50 by 50, you have a square of 50 by 50. The only problem is, it's more than 50 by 50, what we've said. It's 50 by 50, but on top you still have another 12 on one side. You have 12 on one side where it goes up in Reb Zeira's calculations, right? So Reb Zeira's pirish of this whole way of viewing the vines still leaves us with, if you square, let's say, the 64 by 48, which is the square area of what we're dealing with, there's 572 extra square amos, more than a base sa'ah. So we're still stuck with all of this hard work that we did, and we figured out a way to have 10 vines left in this area, and they all look like a kerem, right? They're all 2 and 3, and we have the imaginary lines, and it's all good. But sof maisa, it's still larger than the beis sa'ah. So we're still missing, still lacking to know whether this is going to really be the pshat of the Mishnah of kerem she'charev. Okay, I guess we'll have to stop here, and Hashem, we will continue with figuring these things out. Again, some days you just got to plug. Got to plug in through Kilayim. It's here for a reason. It's here for us to learn. So we got to push and appreciate where it's going. One more daf. Explaining this, and then we get back to the other part of the Mishnah and other topics here in Kilayim. Okay, we'll stop here.